How many of you are adept at mathematics? Wow, no one. I saw one hand go up somewhere, two hands. How many of you struggle with mathematics? Okay, me too. I don't want you to get caught up in the numbers. I want you to hear the theme that's running through the first part of what I'm going to say this morning. Okay, so just sort of sit back and like soak it in rather than trying to figure out the details of the numbers. A recent Pew survey found that 75 to 80% of Americans define themselves as Christians. That's a big number. That's the biggest number of any country on the face of God's green earth. 75 to 80% of Americans define themselves as Christians, and that definition breaks down into Catholic, Protestant, Mormon, and Jehovah's Witness, and then the many denominations and sects thereof. The number, however, falls to less than 5% who believe these three following statements. So we're going from 75 to 80% to less than 5% who believe these three things. Jesus is God, number one, that he is, as he claimed, the only way to heaven, number two, and salvation is by faith. So in this country of over 350 million people, less than 5% believe that Jesus is God, he is the only way to heaven, and salvation is by faith. Now, if you do not believe those things, you have a problem. Because Jesus actually is quoted in several different references, several different gospels, as saying that he is God, that he is life, truth, the way, and that no one can go to the Father, and as he teaches us, our Father who art in heaven, no one can go to heaven except through him. So these are like the fundamentals. I mean, this is just like the bedrock, the concrete upon which this church stands. Jesus is God. He is the only way to heaven. And salvation is not by works and how good you are and whether your good deeds, you know, measure up against your bad deeds, but it is by faith, believing in him as Lord. So you have to decide for yourself, is he delusional? He's sort of like got power hungry, went crazy. You have to decide for yourself, is he being deceptive, sort of tricking everybody into a false sense of belief and security? Or is he deity? Was he telling the truth? You have to decide for yourself. The rest of America has decided. Less than 5%, depending on how you play with the numbers, it's 3.5-4%. Believe those three things. The Barna group picks up on the Pew survey, and they survey this group of people who define themselves as born again or experiencing second birth or spiritual birth, and they interview them in many different arenas. And the one that we're going to be looking at today deals with this topic that we've been talking about now for 2 weeks, spiritual gifts. So listen to this. 2/3 of those people who have said, I am a born-again Christian, I believe these three things fundamentally, 2/3 of them have said they have heard of spiritual gifts. Not that they understand them, not that they know what they are, not that they're enacting them or living them out, but they've at least heard of something called a spiritual gift. Now do the math, okay? If 2/3 of them say they've at least heard of it, what does that mean about born-again believers? 1/3 of born-again believers, self-defined, say they've never heard of a thing called a spiritual gift. Now that should scare you if you sit in this church. Now, of the 2/3 that have heard of spiritual gifts, the survey continued to ask what gifts they believed God had given them. Now, of the 2/3, 40% talked about a gift that is scriptural or biblically based, you know, teaching, service, faith, encouragement, healing, knowledge, tongues, leadership, something that is biblical. Do the math. That means that only 1/3, okay, has something that comes from Scripture, has something that corresponds to the Bible. 28% of these born-again believers have said, no, I don't have a spiritual gift. I've not been given one. 15% of them said, I have no idea what it is. I'm sure I have one, but I am clueless as to what it is. And 21, this is where I got a little nervous studying for this message. Got like, whoo, okay, hair stood up on the back of my neck. 21, by the way, do you know why Italians wear gold chains? So we know where to stop shaving, okay? It's an inside joke for the wops in the house. 21 listed a gift that is not in the Bible. I have the spiritual gift of health. I'm healthy. I have the spiritual gift of life. I assume that everyone in the room could have said that one. I have the spiritual gift of happiness. I have the spiritual gift of a sense of humor. I have the spiritual gift of a job. I have the spiritual gift of a house. I have the spiritual gift of singing. I have the spiritual gift, I love this one, compromise. A completely unbiblical and non-theological thing happens to be a spiritual gift somehow. I have the spiritual gift of premonitions. Ooh, I heard a little bit, ooh, yeah. Get this one. This is my favorite one. Check this one out. Ready? I have the spiritual gift of clairvoyance. I see, listen to, and talk to beings from the other side, spirits from the other side, spiritual gift of clairvoyance, okay? You understand what we're talking about? In other words, 75% of those people who define themselves as born again, spiritually born, spiritual birth, second birth, I believe in Jesus as God. I believe He's the only way to heaven. And I believe that salvation is by faith. 75% of them have either never heard of spiritual gifts or do not believe that they have a spiritual gift or do not know what their spiritual gift is or identify themselves as having something of a spiritual gift that is clearly in opposition to biblical text. Let's phrase it another way. 25% of those people who identify themselves as born-again Christians know what their spiritual gift is. Whether or not they're using it, whether or not they're using it properly, isn't even addressed. 25% of them know what it is. So think about what we're saying here. Think about what we're saying. Of the 5% of Americans who claim Jesus is God, Jesus is the only way to heaven, salvation is by faith. Of the 5% who claim that, only 1% of them seem to have been able to understand or identify a spiritual gift in their life. Thus, thank you very much, the state of the American church. thus may I present to you the state of the Western Church. The question is then, where is the evidence of, where is the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our churches? That should scare you. If the Holy Spirit of God Almighty is not manifesting in the church, you have to ask yourself what spirit is. What spirit is? I'm afraid, my dear friends, that the American church has simply become, in a large extent, just another community outreach program, just another social club, just another business, just another good place to network, just another dating site. I think we got a problem, don't you? This is why it is so important to know all the elements of what it means to be in Christ. Our major study last year. This is why it is very important for you to know and be familiar with and be convicted about what it means to have the Holy Spirit be here in this room. Thus, our major study this year. An invisible God through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ intends to live out a specific attribute, a specific characteristic of Himself in you, born again believer, through you, born again believer, so that in our assembly, in our coming together in mutual love, in unity, the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ will be seen. All the attributes, all the characteristics of God revealing themselves through you, and when we come together, we see Him. The invisible God becomes evident. The unseen becomes visible. The Spirit is manifest or made known. The fullness of Jesus Christ is literally in here when we come together, and everyone else should know it. Everyone else should see it. People should say, what's going on among them? What's happening in that place? The leaders of the church are to be preaching and teaching and equipping you so that you will be informed and use in ever-increasing fervor and passion the attribute of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life. Why? To build and encourage and edify the body, the whole body, until Jesus is seen, until we see Spirit, until we see Christ when we gather together. So last week we introduced this series on the gifts of the Spirit. So naturally this week what we'll do is we'll take a journey through discovering your spiritual gift, right? Wrong. After the sermon last week, people were saying, okay, so what are they? How do I get it? Where do I find it? You know? Wrong idea. Listen, who is the Holy Spirit? How can you understand, how can you know or recognize or embrace the attribute of His personality showing itself in your life if you do not know who He is? So I just want to review, refresh. If you've been attending this church for some time, you should have had some of this already. Just want to review, want to catch you up, you know? Cliff Note version. All right? Listen. He is God. The Bible is very clear that God exists in three persons. Try to explain that to your kids. How many of you understand that? Okay, come on up here. Come on up here and teach it. I don't get it. I exist in three persons. This is the way I sort of talk to my kids, okay? I am a father, my children. I am also a son. I am also a spouse. And I do not behave in the same way or talk in the same way to my parents as I do my children. That would be weird. Are you okay today? You know, to my dad, you know? You get pop, right? If I could be the perfect father and the perfect son and the perfect spouse, and if I were able to do all three of those things at the same time, maybe we'd have a glimpse of what the Trinity is. But we are told clearly in Scripture that God reveals himself in three distinct persons, and the Holy Spirit is one of those distinct persons. He is the Holy Spirit, Holy God. Psalm 139 tells us that he is omnipresent. What does that mean? All places at all times. How many of you feel pulled in all directions at all times? Like if you had could only clone yourself, it'd be better. You know? He is everywhere at one time. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that he is omniscient. That means that he knows all things. He's never shocked or surprised. He's never gaining of knowledge. He knows all things. Hebrews 9 tells us that he is an eternal spirit. Eternal. No beginning. No end. Just is. Romans 8 tells us he is the spirit of life. 1 Peter 4 tells us that he is the spirit of glory. Genesis 1, 2, and Psalm 104 tell us that he is the creator of all things. 2 Peter 1 tells us that he is the one who inspired Scripture. These men are writing through their personalities to people in specific circumstances, but it is the Holy Spirit who is telling them what to say. He is a divine person. You got to get out of your heads that he's like some mystical, you know, orb floating around, you know, some impersonal floating power. That's not right. He is a divine person. He possesses intellect. He possesses knowledge. He possesses mind. Hey, if you haven't figured it out, born again believer, he possesses will. Submit. He possesses emotions. He can be hurt. He can be grieved. He can be angered. He thinks. He knows. He decides. He commands. He can be grieved. He is called the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of knowledge in Isaiah chapter 11. He is called the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth in John 14, 15, and 16. He is called the Spirit of might and the Spirit of power in Isaiah chapter 11. He is called the Spirit of the fear of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11. He is called the Spirit of grace in Hebrews chapter 10. He possesses, and you could probably say this with me, he possesses love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Galatians chapter 5. In other words, you know, just to break all of that down, the Holy Spirit is God everywhere, all-knowing, holy, powerful, creator, true, wise, giver of life. He thinks, he reasons, he decides, and he feels. And he wants to show himself through your life. What does the Holy Spirit do? See? You cannot understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you do not know, number one, who he is, and number two, what he does. He reveals the deep thoughts and the deep heart of God 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So many people say, I just don't understand. Do you really want a God that you can understand? Do you want a God that thinks just like you? You want a God that reasons just like you? That's awfully arrogant. I don't. He reveals the deep thoughts and the deep heart of God. If you have come to any understanding about the nature of God, it has been imparted to you only by the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for that. John chapter 16 tells us that He convicts the world of righteousness, sin, and judgment. That is what He does. If you had a cancer, would you not want to know? If there was a cure, would you not want to be told? If you found a cure, would you not want to take it? That is the job of the Holy Spirit, to tell us this is sin. This is self-defeating. This leaves us empty and broken. And He gives us the way out. Jesus Christ, forgiveness, righteousness, newness, wholeness. He testifies to the truth of Jesus Christ. John 15 tells us. Titus 3 tells us that it is the Holy Spirit who causes us to go from dead in sin to alive to God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. I like this one. 2 Corinthians 1, when we're going through in Christ, you heard me preach on this for a little while. I like this one. It is Him who puts His mark of craftsmanship and authenticity upon you and guarantees that you will see the face of Jesus someday. That hope in you, that assurity in you of heaven has been put there by the work and the intention of the Holy Spirit. He sets us apart to be used by God in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I like this one. Acts 20, He appoints church leaders. I like it now. I didn't like it then. He appoints church leaders. He distributes attributes of His own character among you, Hebrews chapter 2. In truth, wisdom, and knowledge, He examines and understands all things. Nothing is beyond His comprehension. Nothing is beyond His cognition. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He explains the spiritual realities that are above and beyond what we see physically, what we see materially, what we see temporally. He explains those to us. He teaches, John 14. The book of Acts is just full of examples of Him guiding. The book of Acts is full of examples of Him commanding. The Holy Spirit commands. Question is, do you obey? John 14 tells us that He reminds us of God's Word. I have been in a couple situations where I'm just shocked at what I'm seeing or shocked at what's going on, the circumstances in which I find myself, and I just don't know how to deal with it. And there's a verse that comes to my head, maybe a verse I haven't read or heard of in a long time, a verse long past, and it comes to my mind. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of the Word of God. This is awesome. Romans 8, He intercedes for us. You think you know what you should be praying for in your life? Oh, please, please change my circumstances. Please, please change my circumstances. He is praying for you. Change them. Change them. Change them. He prays. He intercedes. He comforts. He comforts. He encourages. And He helps. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit does. That is who He is and what He does. So, without getting into all of these gifts that have been listed out in about six passages, okay, four different books, We'll get there. We're going there. Okay? He's excited about it. You're like, he's like, ah! See? Before we get to all the gifts and what they look like and what attribute of the Holy Spirit they reflect, I want you to see it this way. Okay? I want to take a minute to explain what we're talking about here. Jesus promised his disciples in John 14:26 that the Holy Spirit would teach them all things and remind them of everything he had already taught them. Jesus says, I will go, he will come, he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have already taught you. And we're told in Luke chapter 12 that even in the most perilous situations, when we have to give account for the circumstances that we are in and we can't even fathom them, he will teach us what to say. It is part of his intrinsic nature. It is a part of his personality to teach about all things at all times. Who is the Holy Spirit? A teacher. What does the Holy Spirit do? Teach. When and where? Everywhere. Always. That is who he is. And then listen to this. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and again in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Holy Spirit has given some of those born-again believers in Jesus Christ his own nature by means of teaching. His own nature by means of teaching. The Holy Spirit showing himself through you. That's interesting. Let me give you another example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we are told that the Holy Spirit knows the mind and the heart of deity. After all, he is God. And he reveals to us those deep and spiritual things that are really beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. He makes them known to us. And that he examines all things and he understands all things in a profound and intimate way. He's not shocked and he's not tricked and he's not deceived. And then Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, tells us that the Holy Spirit has given some of the born-again believers his own nature by means of the gift of discernment, the ability to see beyond the facade, the ability to see truly beyond the fraud, the ability to see beyond, to understand beyond the moment, to understand beyond the momentary, to distinguish between the spiritual forces that are at work in a given circumstance, the gift of discernment, that ability is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit through a person. Do you understand what's going on here? An attribute of God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, manifesting itself in order that we do not see you, but rather we see him. And when we all come together, and this one is doing that, and this one is doing that, and this one is doing that, and it's visible, and we see him and not you, all of a sudden we get a clearer and clearer and fuller picture of who God is. One of the things that I find interesting about the spiritual gifts is that the Bible tells us we should not be ignorant of them. Pew polling data, Barna survey data, ignorance. Complete and utter ignorance. The Bible tells us we shouldn't be ignorant of these things, and the Bible tells us that we should be well informed of these spiritual things. The Bible tells us that we should be used in the enactment of these spiritual things. The Bible tells us that these spiritual things should be evident like obvious in our lives, in our life together. But you know what the Bible never tells us? Right back to where we began this morning. The Bible never tells us to go on a spiritual journey to discover your spiritual gift. The Bible never commands you to discover your spiritual gift. It is something to be evident. It is something to be obvious, not just to you, but to everyone else around you. Now listen, especially my seminary students. I've read the books. Listen, I've done those assessments and those surveys. And you know what I've learned from the books and the assessments and the surveys? I've learned a lot about me. Did you hear what I just said? I've learned a lot about me, not about him. I've learned a lot about who I am, not about who he is. I've learned a lot about what I like and what I want and what I'm skilled in, not about what he desires and what he wants and what he's capable of. See, I've learned more about how I feel, class, this morning. I've learned a lot about how I feel rather than about how he thinks. You know, I've learned about what would fulfill me rather than what would empty me, brothers and sisters. When we're talking about quenching the Holy Spirit or resisting the Holy Spirit, we often put this in the realm exclusively left for sin. And of course, that's completely relevant. Sin will pour cold water on a blazing fire. You will quench the Holy Spirit's work in your life by remaining in sin. But I think it's just as relevant to quenching the Holy Spirit or resisting the Holy Spirit when our hopes and our dreams and our desires and our agenda and our timeline get in the way. See, if you are unaware of, do not know, confused about your spiritual gift, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through your life, you might be the problem. Who is it more likely? The Holy Spirit is inept, lazy, incapable, or you're in the way? Think about that. Remember when we were going through the book of Romans, chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter? If we want to get to Romans 8, we want to get to Romans 8, life in the Spirit, of course, we have to go through Romans 6, dead to sin. But if we want to get to Romans 8, life in the Spirit, we have to hurdle Romans 7, dead to self. Dead to self. Remember Hebrews 12, 1? Those of you? Remember Hebrews 12, 1? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Yeah, so we all know that we're supposed to throw off sin, right? The sin that trips us up, the sin that causes us to fall. We're supposed to throw that off. We're supposed to reject it. We're supposed to put it behind us. But we are also told to throw off everything that hinders. What hinders? What other than sin hinders your life? I wish I knew the thoughts that were going through your mind. What other than sin, believer, is hindering your life? I would bet you anything that it is your want, your desires, your dreams, your hopes, your agenda, your timeline. See, this world of non-believers says, encourages, implores, values, sees your desires. sees your dreams. And God Almighty says, let him go and seize mine. Whose hopes and whose desires and whose agenda and whose timeline are better for you? Yours, you finite, broken person, or his? God Almighty, everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing. Who can see down the road and around the corner, you or him? Who knows what will fill you better, you or him? If you want to know and understand the manner in which the Holy Spirit is revealing himself through you, you must be weak so that he can be strong. You must die so that he can live. You must be emptied so that he can fill. I think there's this idea in the modern church that I can go into this church and I can help this church. I like to do this or I like to do that, or I'm really good at this, or I have that particular skill or this talent. I have spiritual gift of interpretive dance. That was an interesting one. That cracked me up. I can't see the Holy Spirit, you know, flopping around in a tutu. Spiritual gift of interpretive dance. I have the spiritual gift of dramatic representation and reacting, you know. I, me. I want. I can do. There's a problem here. You know, I don't believe that any of the books I ever read, and I don't believe that any of the assessments that I have ever taken directed me to being a pastor. And actually, well, we won't go there. Actually, I had a psychological assessment done some years ago, which you will never, ever, ever read. Ever. That psychological assessment was done by well-respected man in his field. It took hours and hours of paperwork. It took hours and hours and hours of interview. And it was summarized in a report that was, it's over 50 pages long. And you know what's funny? My mom's laughing. She could have summed it up in two words, you know. You know what's funny? It pegged me. It pegged me to a T. I laughed about some of what I saw in it. Got angry about some of what I saw in it. I was encouraged by some of what I saw in it. But it pegged me to a T. But it didn't lead me here. It never led me here. And in fact, I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be where I am now. I can tell you that some of the people in this room through whom the Spirit is manifesting most never dreamed they would be here doing what they're doing. If you had asked them years ago, and I did, hey, would you ever think about doing this or being, no. The people in this room through whom the Spirit is manifesting most are the most emptied people of agendas and their own timelines and their own desires and their own wishes that I've ever met. See, before we step into this study of spiritual gifts, you had better hear me clearly and you had better hear me plainly and it better ring in your ears for the next 10 weeks. It is not about you at all. It's about him. It's not an office. It's not a title. It's not a position. It's not a skill. It's not a talent. It's not about what you like. It's not about what you want. In fact, sometimes, most often, it will be something you're not that good at or that you really don't want. It will not be about seeing you. It will be about seeing Him, His wisdom, His understanding, His counsel, His knowledge, His truth, His grace, His love, His joy, His peace, His gentleness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His self-control. He reveals, He convicts, He testifies, He leads, He teaches, He guides, He reminds us of the Word of God. He intercedes, He comforts, He encourages, He helps. If you want to know what your spiritual gift is over the next 10 weeks, you need to know who the Holy Spirit is. Your gift is what He will do through you when you finally get out of the way.